Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Retreat. When we pick the days for the retreat, you know, honorary, you want to like look at the readings and say, okay, this weekend will the readings really work well for the retreat and all that. And I didn't do that. I just picked 2 weeks and I thought we're going to work without looking at the readings. And it so happened at the retreat for the women, the readings were very, very appropriate for that weekend. And today the readings are just so appropriate for what we are gathered here for. So God loves me so much and He always makes it possible. I'm sure these days weren't picked by accidents. He had placed something in my heart, in Tina's heart, when we come up with these days. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, when I say amen, I want to hear you say amen. It means you agree with me, okay? That's what amen means, that you agree. Unless you don't agree, then don't say anything. But if you agree, say amen, okay? Good. You know, this evening, as I sat down at the back and I was listening to confessions, don't worry, I'm not telling you a secret. I was sitting back there and I was listening to confessions, and then at the end, 5 minutes before, I came up and I just started sneezing and my throat started drying out and I started having all of these symptoms. And I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? It seems like the enemy doesn't want me to be speaking tonight. But I say, you know what? You're a liar. You can't succeed because I'm a child of God. I am consecrated. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. And I'll be out here tonight preaching and speaking to you. Amen. Amen. So, I see we have some Caribbean instruments here. And I'm just thinking about it. Maybe we should. We should try a song. As you all know, I can't hold a tune, you know, so it would be kind of rough, but we're going to try it. And the reason I want us to do this song is I want us to shame the enemy because he never succeeds. He never succeeds, okay? So this song, the words I will begin by saying, it is such fun to see the devil lose. You know, it is such fun to see Satan lose. It is such fun to see Satan lose. Jesus is a winner man, a winner man, a winner man. Jesus is a winner man all the time. You know that song? Are you ready to try it? We're going to try it. So if you hear me say, it is such fun to see, your response will be, Satan lose. Okay? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. It is such fun to see.
Satan lose.
It is such fun to see.
Satan lose.
Jesus is our winner man, our winner man, our winner man. Jesus is our winner man, our winner man all the time. Jesus is our winner man, our winner man, our winner man. Jesus is our winner man. So Jesus Christ is a winner. He wins all of the time. So sometimes in your life when you begin to feel like you're supposed to do something and you begin to feel somehow and you know that the enemy is trying to attack and all that, you just say to him, get behind me, I'm a child of God, I'm consecrated, I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb, you have no place in my life, okay? And you'll be afraid and you will run away. You will run away because Jesus Christ is always victorious and we always will be victorious. In today's first reading, we heard from the letter, from the letter Luke. Luke wrote Acts of the Apostles. He wrote two books, Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel of Luke. These two readings, or these two books, are directed at one man called Theophilus. The meaning of the word Theophilus is lover of God. So which means these readings are directed at all of us. All of us who love God. These readings are for us. And we look at what the next verse reading says. Jesus Christ says to the apostles in the next verse reading, remain in Jerusalem until you receive power from above. And then you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, to the rest of the world. And I'm going to come back to that. So Jesus wants them to be witnesses. In today's gospel, he says the same thing. Go to the world and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, cast out demons, and give this authority to you. How many of you have that authority? I want to see you wave your hands. You have that authority. Good. We all have that authority. By virtue of our baptism, by virtue of our confirmation, we have that authority. The same power that Jesus Christ gave to the apostles is the same power that Christ gives to each one of us. So Christ gives us that power to go and be witnesses. And I want witnesses tonight. I want witnesses tonight. And just a moment back to the song we did, Jesus is a Winner Man. It's so much fun to see the devil lose because right now he's not very happy. I can bet you that. He's not very, very happy. And the reason he's not very happy is there are 50 people here tonight who are going to be witnesses. They will go out and they will begin to shake the kingdom of the devil and they will begin to tear it down and they will begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and they will begin to change hearts and many souls will come to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So he's not happy. So Christ calls us, he wants us to be witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in Wheeling, in Bengal, in McMurray, Glendale, Mansfield, Morgantown, Fairmont, everywhere. God needs witnesses. And each one of us, we're going to be Jesus witnesses in all of this place. How many want to be witnesses? I want you. Everyone be witnesses. Good. So we are all witnesses. We are going to be witnesses of the kingdom of God. Because we know, if you look around, we know that there are a lot of people who need to be witnessed to. A lot of people, even in our own families, there are people who need to be witnessed to. I have in my family have different problems. They are looking for happiness elsewhere, not in Christ Jesus. And I know what is lacking in their lives is the love of God. What is lacking in their lives is Jesus Christ. And someone has to bring that message to them. And each one of us is going to be a witness. Each one of us is going to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to those people. Yesterday evening when I said to you, you know, you guys are smarter than the apostles. And I'm sure you guys are sharp. Have you heard something like that before? You don't think of yourself as being smarter than the apostles, right? If you look at the preaching, the content of the preaching of the apostles in the New Testament, they weren't quoting any sophisticated theology. They didn't have citations about all of these books and that they read and all that. What they were sharing with other people, they were sharing their experience. So you look at their message, they tell you about their encounter with Jesus Christ and how Jesus changed their lives. And what they saw, what they believed in, that was what they shared. That was the good news. That's the good news to see in the Gospels. And each one of us can witness that. You can't say, oh, I'm not a priest. I haven't read this theology book. I haven't read this, and all that book, so I will not be able. No, what you need to do is to share your experience of Jesus Christ. And it is impossible for you to share your experience of Jesus Christ if you have not personally encountered Jesus Christ. So that's the very first key to effective witnessing. Encounter personal experience of Jesus Christ. If you do not have a personal experience of Jesus Christ, you are going to find it very hard to witness. You can't give what you don't have. And even when you say it, when you tell people about it, the words will sound hollow and empty. And people feel it. That's the reason sometimes, you know, you might be preaching to some of your friends or family members about something and all that, they're saying in their minds, you are right. You know, I know who you are. You know, you can do whatever, but, you know. So, but when we have that personal experience, it is very, very transformative. That was the experience the apostles had. Some of them, they had it earlier on. Some was a little bit later. And remember the story of Thomas. He's been with Jesus all of this time, but he didn't really have that experience until after the resurrection At that point, when Jesus revealed himself to him and he said, "My Lord and my God," from a guy who was doubting, Thomas became one of the greatest evangelists, went all the way to India preaching and gave his life. So you need to have a personal experience of Jesus Christ. And sometimes you think that the fact that I go to Mass every Sunday, I receive communion every Sunday, I have that experience of Jesus Christ. No. Sometimes, you know, when you grow up, for us, cradle Catholics, we sometimes become, you know, religion, Christianity becomes kind of like a culture in which it's not really spiritually rooted. How many times have I had people in my office that will say, "Oh, Father, I wanted to baptize my baby." They have not been to church in 15 years. Why do you want a child baptized? Oh, it's what we do as a family. You know, we have baptisms, we have marriages as a family. Okay, that's not right. We need to have that personal experience. Our faith should be able to transform our lives and change the way we act, the way we deal with people, the way we relate with other people. So we need that personal experience. I did the same thing. I went to Mass. I mentioned this yesterday. I went to Mass every morning. I prayed the rosary. I did all the things that, you know, you might consider as good things good Catholic kids do, right? Good Catholic kids, you know, I did all of that. But what I found out later when I was in college was I was living my parents' faith, not my own faith. I was living my parents' faith. So I was doing it because my parents did it. I just kept following through, living my parents' faith. So it was at that point in college that I had my own personal experience of Jesus Christ, that I don't need my parents to be present before I have to go to Mass, because I know I have to go to Mass and I have to receive the Eucharist. I don't need my parents to tell me to read the Bible before I read the Bible. I don't need my parents to tell me to pray the rosary before I pray the rosary, because I have my own personal encounter with Jesus Christ. So it is important for us to have our own personal encounters with Jesus Christ. And when we do, that will transform our lives. So the very first key to effective witnessing, we all say we want to be witnesses, we want to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to Benwood and McMahon and all throughout the diocese of William Charleston. We have only 5% Catholics in this diocese. We've had 5% the last 50 years. We have bring something wrong, something new as well. And you are witnesses that we all create this new faith in our diocese. So you're very, very important. God needs you. People say, "Why do I enjoy spending so much time and working with young people and all that?" Because they are the future, because I know God wants to raise them up and use them as witnesses. So you are will be witnesses. Jesse, are you a witness? Are you going to be a witness? And you, amen, this is going to be a witness. Yeah, amen. The second key to effective witnessing is prayer. You need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. So there's one thing called personal experience with Jesus Christ. Remember how when you make a new friend, you have to keep that friendship going. So when you have that personal experience with Jesus, that's the beginning of a friendship. And you have to keep that friendship alive. You have to keep that friendship going. How many of you like friends that you see once every year? You don't care to visit them, you don't talk to them, you don't deal with them, you know, maybe once a year, when you need something, they need something or something, then you tap to each other. How many of you like friends like that? Remember, you can have a friend and whenever he calls, you like friends like that? Yeah. You can have friends that, you know, whenever they call, they're like, "What does he want now?" Because the only time they call is when they want something. They don't have any relationship with you. So in order for us to be effective witnesses, we need to keep our friendship with Jesus Christ. We need to keep our friendship with him in prayer. You know, sometimes there are some people in your family that, you know, oh, you always wish they came to church. You only wish they did better in their lives. And you just keep talking, and it doesn't work. Maybe you are trying too hard. Pray a little bit harder. Bring them to God in prayer. Bring that as a concern to Jesus Christ in prayer. So we need to keep our relationship with Jesus Christ going. We keep that relationship in prayer. And it doesn't have to be an hour-long prayer. It doesn't have to be 15-minute prayer. How long can you pray? Just tell me, give me a number. How many minutes would you like to pray? Like how many? Give me a specific number. Three. That's great. 3 minutes is great. I'd rather you have 3 minutes with Jesus every day than have 0 minutes with him every day. 3 minutes is great. So if all you can do is 3 minutes and you do it consistently, 3 minutes every day, great. So can you do that? 3 minutes a day? Grace before you doesn't count. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So 3 minutes with Jesus Christ every morning. When you wake up in the morning, 3 minutes with Jesus Christ, all of the prayer, the prayer of consecration. Just say that prayer in the morning. Consecrating your day, consecrating your life to Jesus Christ. That helps. Makes life a little bit easier for you. And I can say this again, when I say these things, it's not things I read in books, it's things that I'm sharing my faith with you, things that I've been trying again and again and again, and I know that they work. I have never taken an exam without actually praying before I take the exam. Never. And I will tell you this, I was in college, I had this exam, it was an Thomas Aquinas philosophy. I had this exam, and we looked at the questions, couldn't answer any of the questions. It was so difficult, it was a class that made people flunk the exam. I looked at the questions, and I couldn't answer any of the questions. I closed them, closed the questions. Put my head on the desk, and started praying, and slept off as part of the prayer. Got up about 45 minutes before the end of the 2-hour exam, and I thought about some few things, scanty things here and there, and all that, and I had them all written. I had some insights of things, you know, how to go with this, and I just had them all written and coming in and hoping to be the first class I would ever fail. And I was one of the few people that passed that exam. Since then, before taking an exam, even before looking at the questions, I'll first close the questions and pray before actually opening them. I have told people who have had difficulties in their places of work and all that, I said, why not pray and cover the place of work with the Holy Spirit, with God? Why not go a little bit early and pray and bless the building and all that? And they have testified to me that they started seeing changes in their work environment. Suddenly, people started being nicer than they were before. Suddenly, the quarrels began to end. So prayer is really, really powerful. So we need prayer every day of our lives. In order to witness, we need to pray. We need to give ourselves close to Jesus Christ in prayer. So prayer is the link of our relationship. The link is what links our relationship with Jesus Christ. The third key to effective witnessing I want to share with you tonight is this book. It's not a nice book that you sit in your shelf and look really, really pretty. If you look at this, I have, it's all falling apart. I'm trying to hold it together. You know, trying to hold it together with tape everywhere. And all that. I've had this since 2003. Some other Bibles I use as well, but I've become so attached to this particular Bible. Because it is the living word of God. It is the truth. Jesus Christ tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31, that if you remain in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, later on, as I get through high school and college and all of that, there will be all these conflicting ideas that they call truth. They will try to shove them through your throat and all that. I can tell you this as a philosophy, major minor in philosophy. You'll hear all of these strange ideas that are portrayed as the truth. This is it. Nobody trying to sell me anything that is contrary to this book, and they're telling me the truth. Don't believe them. Tell them to keep behind me in your life. You know. Have anything to do with you. So, we need this in our faith journey in order to be effective witnesses. Because it is in this book that we encounter the living Christ. You don't have to read it as a novel. Don't try to finish. Don't try to read to finish it as a novel. Just a few words of it. They speak to you. Christ speaks to you. And sometimes he speaks to you when you need to hear those particular words. There's one chapter in the Bible, I think it's John chapter 17, where Jesus Christ has his long prayer. And I can't tell you how many times I've read that chapter and how many times I have seen things that I never saw in that chapter before. In fact, the very last one was when I was doing the evening sessions, and I was preparing that evening, and God just spoke to me about the very last verse, I think it was verse 26. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love for which you love me may be in them, and I in them. I'm like, wow. Jesus is praying that the Father should love us in the same way that the Father loves you. That's how precious we are. And that is perfect love. So, Gage, how many chapters a day to read? Give me a number.
Five.
Too much. How many chapters? Too much. Tell me. Too much.
Just a couple of lines.
Couple of bases. That's all you need to stay grounded in the Word. You know, sometimes we think we have to read a whole chapter, or we have to read a whole book at a time, and then we get overwhelmed and we don't read it. Just a few verses. And some of you have iPhones, right? There are apps that will actually send you, there are free apps that will actually send you just a verse a day. If you can even read that one verse a day, but you need to stay grounded in the Word of God. The Father is the Holy Spirit. To be an effective witness, let me keep that to the end. Cost of discipleship. Let's say the cost of discipleship. In order to be an effective witness, it comes with a cost. Think it's easy? Is it easy to be a witness? No, it's not easy, right? People are going to laugh at you. Yeah, they will laugh at you. They'll like, yeah, always thinking about God, always thinking about church, always praying, always, you know. Yeah, it's not cool. Who cares if it's cool or not? It's cool with God. That's all that matters. Oh, yeah, first thing, not what people think. You know, it's cool with God. That's all that matters. So no matter how people laugh at you, no matter what, you know, how people think, the important thing is that you have the most important friend, and that is Jesus. Our most important friend is Jesus. And as you reminded me today, or yesterday, he shared everything with us and even given his life for us. That's the friendship that matters. So, there's going to be a cost to discipleship. It's not an easy cost. So, you know, I can still come here and preach a homily to you that will make you feel really, really good. Yeah. You'll feel really, really good. I can do that. You know. But then I'm not telling you the truth. I don't want you, you know, say, oh, everything's gonna be easy, everything's gonna be nice, everything's gonna be fun and all that. I sit and like make you like me. It's not fun. Just bump into trouble. You're gonna get into trouble because of your beliefs. Because you understand your Christian faith. You will get into trouble. People will dislike you because of that. Maybe somebody did something really, 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 really bad, and they want you to hide that. I'm like, no. My Christian principles doesn't say I should hide this person, you know. And that person might hate you, and maybe I'm, the rest of these are friends who hate you for that. Or you did something, and the easy way out is to lie so you don't get punished, right? And you're like, no, I am a Christian, I am a child of God, I am a person of principles, I will tell the truth and take the punishment. Would you do that? Good. Yeah, gays would do that. Yeah. So that's the cause it's associated with it, because sometimes the easy way is to, you know, to compromise our Christian beliefs and principles in order to get away. But no, a Christian would say, that's the cost of discipleship. It's the cost of my Christian faith. And I will do the right thing. I wouldn't tell you how many people are offended over, you know, sponsor forms. I come to church and they want me to lie on their forms and say the practice. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. And they get like, oh, now I want to come to church again. Well, you probably come anyway. So there's a cost associated with it. And the last one is the Holy Spirit. A good witness must be covered with the Holy Spirit. And that's why in today's gospel, in today's first reading, Jesus Christ said before his ascension, he said, remain in Jerusalem until you receive power from above, and then you can be my witnesses. In the Gospel of Luke, he said the same thing. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. He said, stay right here until you are clothed with power from above. Then you can be my witnesses. Right now, I send you to quickly run to the street there and begin to tell everybody about Jesus Christ and all that, and you make probably be afraid, right? But once you are clothed with the power from above, then you get that. That's what happened. Remember Peter? Remember how he denied Jesus? Right? And me? Remember how he denied Jesus? And in one of those occasions, was a little girl, 12-year-old girl. You know, you were with him. No, I was not afraid of my father. Yeah. And Peter became the one after Pentecost, after receiving the Holy Spirit. He's going out there and he's preaching. He doesn't really care. He's helping with the rest of the apostles, Peter and John and Matt. They are all out there on the streets and they're beginning to talk about Jesus Christ. They are no longer afraid. And begin to do all these mighty deeds because they are clothed with power from above. So we're going to pray tonight that we also be clothed with that power. Because as Tina mentioned in her talk today, that Holy Spirit is out there for us to take, to make it part of our lives so that we can be effective witnesses. It's out there for us. We can be effective witnesses. So tonight, when we pray tonight, we're going to pray. We just surrender and invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. Because God loves you so much and He's been generously pouring His Spirit upon you. He will pour it upon you. And you know what? Whenever Christians gather and we pray and invoke the Holy Spirit, we experience a new Pentecost. And I want us tonight to experience a new Pentecost. And I want you to see how I want a new Pentecost. want a new Pentecost in my life today.
I want a new Pentecost in my life today.
Because I want to be a witness.